This poem is called Ode to All Things Considered. Oh, Ari Shapiro, and here I thought we were friends. I have some news for you. Do you know what's not news to me? The news. See what I did there? You're no fun anymore, you bearer of relentless awfulness. Hurricane, flood, tsunami, glaciers and global and warming. Polls and partisans and politics. Do you think these stories make me feel good? They don't. I don't feel well at all, Ari. My doctor has advised me to stop all news intake. I don't think you folks consider all things, just bad things. Maybe consider some other things. Maybe just consider nice things, like donuts, or kites, or vodka. Vodka is nice to consider. Do 3 hours on vodka. God knows I have, and it's not even noon. Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ari Shapiro, and this is All Vodka Considered. Next night is whiskey, then Wellbutrin. Help me, Ari. You and Nina and Lakshmi and Audie and that other guy whose name no one knows. I don't feel well. No one does. Be my Tom Cruise to your Cuba Gooding Jr. Help me help you. Consider it?
Now, do you know Ari Shapiro? Have you ever met him?
I've never met Ari, but he was kind enough with the first book, Love Poems for Married People, to interview me on All Things Considered.
Yes, I think Ari would be down for All Vodka Considered, so he'd be down for that.
you clearly know him better than I do.
John Kenny is the author of this new book that he just read, A Poem From, Love Poems for Anxious People. And his previous two poetry books were Love Poems for Married People and Love Poems for People with Children. And so, John, that you are a married person. You do have children. Are you also an anxious person? Does the pattern continue?
I love this because it's sounding more and more like a therapy session. This is good. Am I anxious? I think I have a sort of good low-grade anxiety most days, the little bubble in your stomach, the little somewhat clammy palms, the regretting a comment I made in a conversation, or, you know, I think we all have that voice in our head, you know, most every moment of the day, which is sometimes friendly, but weirdly, I think, is sometimes not very friendly, and that kind of beats the heck out of us and does review those conversations. And, you know, it's like a little screenwriter. It makes stuff up, right? It recreates conversations.
So you have, like, what might be described as a normal, even healthy level of anxiety. But how does that feel with your book now coming out in what might well be the golden age of anxiety? How did you work this timing?
Fluke luck, and I'm trying to figure out if it's good luck or bad luck. We'll see with the sales in a month or two. It's funny, W.H. Auden, the great American poet, I think it was like 52 or 3, he had sort of an epic 100-page poem called The Age of Anxiety. And I beg to disagree with them. I think we are now living in the age of anxiety. You know, I think like a lot of emotions, anxiety is pretty universal. And, you know, mine is a fairly low-grade one most days, but, boy, it's been ramped up. And I think that, you know, we don't do well with the unknown. We like a planned day, right? We trick ourselves into thinking that we can kind of control things. If we make a dinner plan, it's like, well, that, you know, that's going to happen. But these days, everything is sort of either on hold or canceled, and that's anxiety causing. But, you know, I think, like I was saying, that the little scriptwriter in our head does not do us a service sometimes. It makes stuff up. It tricks us. It takes us down a road that isn't even true. There's a great quote from the French essayist from the 1600s, I believe, was when he lived, Michel de Montaigne. He said, my life has been full of terrible misfortunes, most of which never happened.
And that's where your work here helps out, actually. You had one, the book was obviously written with no knowledge that a pandemic was coming, and before all that, but there was one in there that kind of fits right now. It's called Nice to Meet You, and I wonder if you could read that one for us.
Nice to meet you. Now what do I do? With my hand, I mean. The one you just shook, with your germ-infested one. Are you a clean man? You don't look it to me. Sure, you are a senior client in charge of marketing, but where has that senior client hand been? Not under scalding water like my hand. And now you have ruined that. You have been talking since we shook hands, though I do not know for sure what you have been saying, as I have been thinking about my dirty hand. I was just going to grab a sandwich, but I can't now. I have to go back to the bathroom. When I said nice to meet you earlier, I was lying.
So that one fits right in these days. Do you consider yourself, are you a poet who is humorous or a humorist who is a poet?
I will leave that to your listeners. I think my poems are poems in much the same way Burger King is farm-to-table dining. I have huge respect for real poets, for the Mary Olivers of the world and the Billy Collinses and the Sharon Olds and the Seamus Haneys. I like a lot of kids, was, you know, forced to read poetry in high school and college, and it was certainly lost on me, nuance and sort of that lovely ethereal nature of really, really good poetry, because I was a dope. But in doing these books, I have rekindled, or rather kindled, I guess, my love of poetry. And the ability of really great poetry to capture the seemingly ineffable and put it down on the page. My hope is that people will laugh. Like real poetry, I hope to find some truth. I think that's important to me. But mostly I'm really hoping to make people laugh.
Well, and again, I'm talking to John Kenny. He has a new book out called Love Poems for Anxious People. He has a couple other books along similar lines, Love Poems for Married People and Love Poems for People with Children. He's written other things as well. And John, you have one in here that for me sort of gets at almost the purpose of the book, of making people I'm projecting the purpose, and maybe I won't say it. This is called, it's about the old friends, and the old friends are not people, but the old friends are certain feelings. I wonder if you could read that old friends poem.
I'd be happy to. Old friends. I am having a party at home, alone, and so many of my old friends are here. Anxiety, look at you, sweating. Say hello to my good friend, Embarrassment. I think you both met in junior high. And over here by himself, facing the wall, is my friend, Shame. And there, unaware that his fly is down and cream cheese is on his face, is my dear friend, Awkward Moment. And what a treat. Self-loathing just walked in. I haven't seen you since I looked in the mirror this morning, and you brought regret. I wish you hadn't. That was a joke.
Yes, regret. I wish you hadn't. That was a joke. So the thing is, in a way, I could see somebody could read this and go like, gosh, this book is so negative. It's all about these anxieties and these awful situations and feeling bad and everything. But to me, I feel like the point for me to read a book like this is to laugh at those things and to realize that we have them. And I mean, do you feel that way, or what do you hope people get out of these?
Yeah, I certainly don't mean it to be negative or dark, but I do think if we're going to be honest with ourselves, I love a Hallmark card, but my interest is finding the dark parts of life that I think are universal, and shedding a little light on those and trying to make people laugh. Right? There's there's this amazing writer. I believe she was the first Buddhist nun in America, Pema Chodron. And she has this great line. She says, "We might as well stop struggling against our thoughts and realize that honesty and humor are far more inspiring than the stories we make up." That's the place that I find interesting, because I think life, as gorgeous a gift as it is, can be hard, challenging, depressing, dark. It can be. And I think that is universal. And if we can change the channel a little bit in our head and find the funny and find the self-deprecating and laugh at it a little bit, I think it makes for a nicer day.
You know, there's this whole tradition of light verse that, I don't know how close of attention I've been paying, but it seems to me like it kind of faded off sometime around the 60s or something like that, that you had Ogden Nash and John Ciardi.
James Thurber.
I think that... I don't know if light verse is coming back because poetry is coming back, or if do you feel yourself part of that tradition of light verse writers?
You know, those people I have enormous respect. I would not mention my name in the same name as those folks. Their talent is well beyond my pay grade. But I'd like to make people smile. That if I can get through the end of the day and someone said, you know, geez, that made my day a little better, then that was a good day, as long as they didn't get it from the library and that they actually purchased it. I'm kidding. You can get it from anywhere you want.
A lot of the poems go almost over the top with anxiety. One that felt really very mundane, and there's a few of them that are this way, but many of us have gone into some place with a tip jar. And you wrote one of your poems about tipping, and I thought this is something a lot of people might be able to relate to. I wonder if you'd be willing to read the tipping poem.
Yes. Tipping. I ordered a latte to go at the hipster coffee shop in my new neighborhood, smiling at the thought that I would soon be a regular there. "Hey, Stan," this same bearded barista will surely say in the days to come. "The usual, dude?" He'll nod and smile like, "All good, man." And I'll nod and smile even though I don't want the usual. I want tea. But I've already nodded. No matter. We will probably become friends. And maybe he will tell me why he thought it was a good idea to get a tattoo of a question mark on each earlobe. Feeling the budding relationship inside me, I placed a tip inside the jar. Sure, he would see my largesse, perhaps nod and smile as if to say, "You're the man, bro," which I'm normally not. But my soon-to-be good friend turned away before seeing me tip, which was disappointing, as it was a $5 bill. So what I did was reach back in to get it so I could do it again when he was looking. But as I reached in, he turned to ask if I wanted soy or whole milk. Here's something else about the new neighborhood. Not three blocks away, there's a Dunkin' Donuts.
Oh, and they don't have a tip jar at the Dunkin' Donuts. So the old friend shame comes back again. We've been talking to John Kenny, and he has written this book, Poems, Love Poems for Anxious People, becoming a series. We're We're anxious about what the next one might be. Are they getting worse or better in terms of the human conditions that they address? John, I wanted to get a last comment from you on, you know, what the reactions that you get from readers are, and are they what you hope?
You know, occasionally you'll get an email from folks, and that's always really lovely. You know, you can go on. There's lots of sites, you know, Goodreads and Amazon, stuff like that. You know, you hope people say kind things. And, yeah, as I say, you know, my hope is just that during this difficult period, it can give someone a laugh and make me incredibly wealthy.
Valid goals, surely, and worthwhile. Thank you, John Kenny, author of Love Poems for Anxious People, just out. And let me give you a hint. If you get any of his books, be sure to read through to the last work in each book. It's worth the wait. Thank you so much, John, for talking with us here at Prairie Public.
Bill, thank you so much for having me.